Hey, what's up? It's Friday. Not just any Friday.
It's Friday.
That's right. So anything goes today. Anything goes. So, I actually, you know what goes? Larry in Temecula goes. Hey, Larry, you're on 710. What's happening, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Can't wait to see this Vin Scully thing tonight.
Obviously,
it's a shame that he passed away. But,
of course, yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be, you know, really heartwarming. Anyways, this Mitch White thing, I don't think anybody really understands that trade. On most rosters in Major League Baseball, he's a four or five starter, and we got nothing in return. I think, and there was a comment after his last start, and he pitched well,
yep.
And he was sent down to the minors again, and he was asked about this. He was optioned out, and he was visibly upset he was going out again. I would not be surprised if his agent, and, you know, this is not Juan Soto here, where the news breaks all over the country. I wouldn't be surprised if his agent called and asked for a trade.
And, well, it doesn't mean you have to give it to
him.
He
needs the pitch.
Yeah,
no, you don't, but if you've got a guy that doesn't want to be there anymore.
So you think it may be Mitch White may have asked out?
I think so. I mean, look, Andrew Friedman's no fool. Obviously, he gave up a really good pitcher. I mean, this guy is a four or five on almost any team in the league.
Yeah. I mean, his last start, he went six innings, allowed two earned runs, nine hits,
yeah.
Four strikes. I mean, well, totally solid.
He's been very consistent all year. He's earned a rotation spot, but on this team, there's no spot.
Yeah.
And I think that if you look at Toronto's roster right now, if he's on the major league roster right now, I think that's the answer. And we're never going to know because he's not Juan Soto. He's not Max Scherzer. I mean, he's Mitch White.
Yep.
So
yep.
This is never going to come out. But why else would he not be on the Dodgers right now? It's ridiculous.
Okay, Larry,
the game
thanks.
Went for nothing.
Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I mean, it's an inexplicable part of the trade. We've asked the Dodgers if Andrew Friedman would come on. We have not received a response. But Andrew has come on the show a number of times. I would love to talk to him about this particular trade deadline and the way everything came down.
Right, especially since there's no waiver deadline this year.
Right,
you had to improve your team at the trade deadline, or that's it.
This is it.
You
can't. Exactly.
There's no other mechanism to add players from outside your organization anymore. You can bring up guys that are already in your farm system, but that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And the Dodgers have got a lot of those guys coming back, ranging from Dustin May to Blake Treinen to Daniel Hudson. All these guys, we hope, will be back soon. So. Let me pivot on you here, John. We talked yesterday about LeBron James and the fact that he's now eligible to sign a two-year extension or a one-year extension or no extension with the Lakers. And yesterday, Rich Paul indicated that there was a meeting and that the conversation was productive between Rich Paul and Rob Pelinka. And so there's no reason to believe that LeBron won't be making a longer-term commitment to the Lakers. But I got this tweet from Andrew G. at Biggie Cups last night.
Hello, Andrew.
He said, if LeBron really wants to win another chip with the Lakers, he would sign an extension for less money so they can sign even better players. That's what James Harden did in Philadelphia. I know they're in trouble now for all sorts of behind-the-scenes stuff, but couldn't LeBron sign for less and create more cap space?
Well, he could. He's a billionaire. I don't think he should have to. I would never tell anybody to take less than what they can negotiate.
But in the end, I mean, if you're able to bring in another top-flight player to help you win a championship, aren't you thinking more about rings than money at this point?
Probably, but I don't think it's LeBron's responsibility to take less because the team he's on gave money to guys that aren't
he
as
wanted
good.
To get him.
Yeah, that aren't as good. I mean, the highest paid player on the Lakers is Westbrook.
Right, who was directly, LeBron was completely all over that.
But, I mean, I would applaud LeBron if he did it, but I don't think he should have to.
I don't think he has to. I'm just, that's what James Harden did.
Yeah, or did he agree to do that and they agreed to pay him under the table, which is what they're being investigated for.
Describe it. They're being investigated.
Harden took $15 million a year less.
Yes.
And everyone's now wondering, well, why would he do that? And Harden says, I just want to give the team more flexibility. But everybody thinks they may have cut a deal under the table, and that's what they're looking into.
Right, but no matter what, he created more space, right?
Right, but if they've already got an agreement to pay him, you know, $45 million when he retires. That's against the salary cap rules.
You think that's what they did, agree to pay him $45 million when he retires?
I think that's one of the things they're looking into.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's totally, totally can't do that.
But
totally violates the
but
salary
to,
cap.
To take on the premise of your question, if LeBron did want to work for the NBA minimum, he could. He certainly could afford it. He's the best player on our team. I really don't think.
Oh, yeah, he's the best player we got.
I really don't think he should have to. I think that LeBron.
I don't think he should have to.
LeBron
but
should be the highest paid player on our team. Why does, you know, I don't see Russ doing that.
Well, no.
Yeah. So why isn't anybody asking him to do it?
I'm sure LeBron, he's been asked to take a buyout at this point. Well, don't you think Russ has been, they've tried to buy out Russ?
I don't know. You know, you're not allowed to give back money in the NBA.
Correct.
So it would have to be, you would have to do it when you're a free agent or you're up for renegotiation. Like right now, James Harden's a free agent.
Right.
He just signed this deal.
Just signed this deal, yeah.
So that's what it would entail. By the way, there's an interesting thing that Ian Begley, who covers the Nets in New York, put out there. I think a lot of us are sitting here wondering whether or not Russell or Kyrie Irving is, what his situation with the Nets is and whether or not he's going to stay there with Kevin Durant. Because if he's not, then the Lakers can make a run for him. And I think the common perception is the reason the Lakers haven't done anything yet is they're waiting to see what happens with Kyrie. Ian Begley says Kyrie's not going anywhere.
I was told by a source close to Irving that he feels that he and the Nets are in a pretty good place, very good place right now, and comfortable as we sit here in early August heading towards the start of next season. Irving obviously opted into the final year of his deal with Brooklyn. He could be an unrestricted free agent next summer after a lot of trade talk. Doesn't appear to be much there at the moment. So it's worth noting that Irving, according to a source close to him, is very comfortable. Feels like the Nets and he are in a good place at this point as you head towards next season.
So if that's true, if Kyrie's staying in Brooklyn, should the Lakers start going to a plan B?
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, if we can't get better with Kyrie, we've got to figure out a way to get better. Because right now...
Or is it smarter to... You know, that's just a guy reporting something.
Yeah, sure.
Is it smarter to wait and see what happens with the Nets?
Oh, I'm not a big fan of Kyrie to... I mean, some of the other names that I've heard, you know, whether it's Eric Gordon or Buddy Hield or Miles Turner, I'm more excited for than I am for Kyrie Irving because I know that's just going to be steady drama nonstop. So from one perspective, as a talk show host, bring on Kyrie.
Right.
As a fan of the Lakers, I don't think that's necessarily the best move for them. So the fact that Ian Begley saying Kyrie is going to stay, I think would drive. Did you see the Kevin Pelton article?
No.
Okay, Kevin Pelton from ESPN.
I like Kevin Pelton, though.
Wrote an article, gave off-season grades to every team in the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. I only have the Lakers grade here. What do you think the grade is?
B-.
It's B-, exactly. I actually think B- is generous. I would give him a C. After disappointing results from their fleet of veteran minimum signings last summer, the Lakers wisely pivoted toward younger options in free agency this time around. None of the players they've added to their roster is older than 29. For minimum pickups, I particularly like bringing in Troy Brown Jr. as a player with upside and Juan Toscano-Anderson for his passing and defensive versatility. On the downside, the Lakers didn't add a single reliable two-way contributor to fill their biggest need. The Lakers used their taxpayer mid-level to add Lonnie Walker IV, who shot just 31% from three last season and 34% for his career. And even if Walker takes a step forward, as with Malik Monk last year, the Lakers would be hard-pressed to keep him beyond this season using non-Bird rights.
Yeah.
B-.
I think that's about right. But they're not done. The Lakers aren't done. I think they're going to do something else.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, at least Ian Begley says Kyrie's off the board or could potentially
be
off the board.
There was another story that came out today that said that the... Funch, what was it? The Lakers?
Actually, we've got that one. Okay. The Jazz trade?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll throw that one out there next. It's a good one. It's an interesting trade that was thrown out there. I have no idea if it's still, but it's Lakers, Jazz, and Knicks. We'll explain that one coming up next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What did Kevin Demoff say when Monday we're at Rams camp? What did he say about?
So does that screw up your surprise?
It does screw up the surprise. Surprise has moved to Tuesday. Okay. Yeah. Surprise has moved to Tuesday at 2 o'clock. So what did Demoff say about me having a catch with Matthew Stafford, which is a dream?
Totally accurate.
Totally wrong. So we were talking about this. The Lakers are in some sort of in-between phase where they've done their initial pass of free agents, and we know Troy Brown Jr., Juan Toscano Anderson, and Lonnie Walker IV, and those guys. So this is the trade that was kicking around, and I have no idea where this stands. This story is as of August the 5th, so that is today.
Mm-hmm.
Proposed three-team trade scenario. Westbrook goes to Utah. Utah buys him out. Utah sends Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks. And then a combination of two players, Patrick Beverley, Jordan Clarkson, Bojan Bogdanovic, come to the Lakers. You have a choice of those two.
Okay, two of the three.
Two of the three. Patrick Beverley, Jordan Clarkson, and Bojan Bogdanovic. Knicks would also have to part with some veteran salary fillers, blah, blah, blah. So basically it's Knicks get Mitchell, Jazz, who are going nowhere, get Russell Westbrook, and Lakers get two of these three, Jordan Clarkson, Bojan Bogdanovic, or Patrick Beverley.
That trade on the surface would seem to give each team exactly what it's looking for.
Yeah. Utah, big expiring contract.
Yeah, and Bogdanovic I would take for sure, and then I would have to decide between Beverley
and
Clarkson.
Pat Bev and Clarkson, yeah.
Clarkson's better offensively, Beverley's better defensively. I'd almost lean Beverley there, even though I love JC.
I would probably lean Beverley there also.
Because you don't need more points. You need more defense. Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks would be a huge pickup for them. And if the Jazz really just want picks, the Knicks and the Lakers could just load them up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't hate that trade. Now, I'd rather have Kyrie.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd rather do this deal. I like this deal a lot. Yeah, I like this deal a lot.
Would you rather have Bogdanovich and Beverly than Heald and Miles Turner?
And Miles Turner. That's a really tough question.
Right. So these are the decisions that Rob Pelinka. Yeah, I always say about Rob, we have to trust him a little because he's the only one who can see the whole board.
Right.
And so if you're Rob, you have to know that if you do that deal, the one you just proposed, then you're out of Heald and Turner and you're out of Kyrie.
Let's say nothing else happens.
Okay.
How are we going to be? Is that a failure? If nothing else, if there's no Bojan Bogdanovic, there's no Buddy Heald, okay, there's no Miles Turner, there's no
Eric
Gordon.
In your scenario, do LeBron and AD play 65 games or more each?
Well, I wish I knew that answer, but let's say yes.
Playoff team. I don't think they'd miss the playoffs again. I would put them right
on the bubble, I think.
No. I'd put them right 4 or 5. I would go, if I had to pick it right now, I would go Phoenix 1, Clippers if they're healthy 2, Golden State 3 if they care about the regular season. Sometimes they don't. I don't know.
Memphis has got to be there.
Well, Denver too.
And Denver's got to be there.
And the Lakers. I'd put Memphis, Denver, and the Lakers in that battle for 4, 5, 6. Then put Dallas there, and I think New Orleans or Minnesota might sneak in.
Okay, so what if I tell you that LeBron is going to play 55 games.
Okay.
And AD is going to play 40. Now what's it look like?
6 seed.
You think that's a 6 seed?
Yeah.
I think that's a bubble team.
Maybe. You think they're better than – do you think that team under those parameters?
With those parameters, yeah.
Better than Minnesota? Better than New Orleans? Better than Dallas? Because those are the bubble teams.
Dallas, I think, had a horrible offseason.
Why? Still have Luka?
They still have Luka, but in terms of moves during the offseason, like, for example, let me play this for you, because I think this is ridiculous.
You know, they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah. Listen to Kendrick Perkins, what he says about the Clippers.
You look at the Los Angeles Clippers, they won this offseason, and I don't even think it's close. Ooh. When you talk about the most important position in the NBA, the wing position, they are loaded with them. From Paul George to Kawhi Leonard to Robert Covington to Nicholas Batum, they have Norman Powell. And then look at the point guard position. Reggie Hot Sauce Jackson and John Wall both competing for that spot. You can't go wrong with either one. They re-signed Vic Zubac. They have one of the best coaches in the game today in Ty Lue. And I'm looking at this team and I'm like, I don't know a team that's more versatile than the Los Angeles Clippers.
Okay, now here's his original point was, why are they not getting an A-plus for the offseason? It's because they re-signed Zubac and signed John Wall. Did I miss any of their other moves? I don't think so.
Here's why I'm very, like, right now I have the Clippers as the 2 seed.
Really?
I do. I think they're that good.
God, they suck.
Except, here's the truth about the Clippers. Everybody likes to give Anthony Davis a hard time, and Charles Barkley nicknamed him Street Clothes.
Yes,
and he
exactly.
did miss a lot of games last year. Anthony Davis played more games, more, than either Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. You can't count on those guys. Now, what I'm basing it on is, after missing an entire season,
yes,
Kawhi's going to be better at showing up this year. And if he is, I think the Clippers are really formidable. The only reason I pick Phoenix is because I think they care about the regular season.
Yeah.
And they're bringing everybody back. They almost lost DeAndre Ayton, but they didn't.
I would be extremely disappointed if we do not have another move in us. Extremely disappointed.
Well, Rob has said he's not done.
Right.
I don't.
But if Ian Begley's right and Kyrie's off the board, all this other stuff has to happen.
Or one of those. Like right now, if I made you pick, you can have Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, or you can have Bojan Bogdanović and Patrick Beverley. Which package do you take?
Bojan Bogdanović and Patrick Beverley.
Why?
Because, first of all, Bogdanović gives them a shooter. He's a good three-point shooter.
Not as good as Hield.
And Patrick Beverley gives them an annoying defender, team leader kind of guy. I like Pat Bev for that purpose.
Miles Turner would be your starting center, and he leads the league in block shots.
But what is a starting center for the Lakers when AD is supposed to be playing the five?
Block shots and rebound. AD prefers the four.
I know he prefers the four, but they're better at the five. Every metric shows they're better with AD at the five than they are at the four.
2 years ago, it showed that.
You think last year that Anthony Davis...
I think last year they had a bad team, and so it didn't matter if he played the four or the five, and he only played, what, 30, 40 games?
Yeah, he only played
games.
30-something games, yeah.
So I think if you had a front line of LeBron, Miles Turner, and Anthony Davis, that's pretty formidable.
It is. He's a great defender, Miles Turner.
The biggest question with the Lakers is, where is Russ going to be? Is he on your team? Is he one of your main stars? There was a report yesterday that Darvin Ham is going to have more leeway to bench Russ if he needs to. But if you do that, how does that sit in your locker room?
Here's the situation with Russ, according to Jovan Bua from The Athletic.
Jovan.
Sorry about that, Jovan. There will come a time in which the Lakers have to decide if they're willing to continue to play hardball and risk missing their window to trade Russell Westbrook. He's making it sound like the Russell Westbrook trade is being held up by us. There is a sense among some that training camp is a soft deadline to move Westbrook. If he's on the roster in late September, there will be a massive off-court distraction with the media asking about his future, his relationship with James and the organization, Ham's vision of his role and responsibilities. So it sounds like, when does training camp start? Late September, right?
Yep.
If
first preseason game is October 3rd.
If it's not resolved late December, start of training camp, or late September, start of training camp, then he's here. But until then, I think I'd rather him go.
But what do you think? Is he on the roster on opening night or no?
I don't know. How good is Rob to get somebody to take him?
Pretty good. I mean, he got out from under both Luol Deng and Timofey Mozgov when everybody said you couldn't do
it. It was stretched him.
Right. And Mozgov, he packaged with D'Angelo Russell and got him out.
Yes.
So Rob's pretty good. Let's see if this will be a test of how good he is. But I think he's waiting to see what happens with Kyrie. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
When you answer this honestly, Jorge, you too.
I'll try.
Is Jorge back there? All right.
Yeah, Jorge's.
When you were in college,
mm-hmm.
freshman and sophomore year,
uh-huh.
did you have a fake ID?
Hmm.
No.
Mace?
Tell you next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I accidentally hit the dump button. So
trying to get the mic on?
I don't know what's gone.
Yeah, you didn't like this song?
There's two buttons, right? There's a mic button, there's a dump button, and then sometimes I get them mixed up, you probably heard something choppy there. So, Ireland, you asked a question about fake IDs.
Yeah, when you were in college and you weren't old enough, it was 21 was the drinking age nationally when you and I were in college, right?
No.
It was 18 where you lived?
Yes.
Yeah, see, 21 in California.
I never needed a fake ID. Okay. I could walk into any bar I wanted from the moment I set foot on Bowling Green State University's campus.
So in California, it was always 21.
Yes.
So I got to UCLA when I was 18. It turns out I'm not the only now successful sportscaster who went this route. Here is the great Ian Eagle on a podcast.
First one was New York. The thing was, it was a real ID. It was just a different person. So it wasn't me, the picture. But it was close enough where if a guy looked down and looked up, looked down. So that was Eric Abraham. That was the first one. Then the second one was a Pennsylvania ID. The interesting part about that one, Adam, at the time, Pennsylvania, when you went in for your driver's license, did not ask you if you were male or female. They did not require that notation. So you could bring in a birth certificate of a female as a male, and as long as it was a unisex name, you could get the ID. So I got an ID, not again with my picture. It was someone had done it. They had turned 21. They gave me the ID, and that was Pennsylvania. That was Stacy Schwartz. So I was Stacy Schwartz for a year in order to get into drinking establishments.
Pretty creative.
That is creative, yeah.
Yeah. When I was in college, I had a fraternity brother who was 2 years older than me.
Okay.
And I was a little nervous to ask him about it, and he was awesome about it. I go, my buddy, his name is Jeff Davis. I just saw him. He came to Rams camp when you and I were out there the other day.
The other day he was
brought
there?
One of his daughters to Rams camp. Yeah, I've stayed in touch with him over the years. We were in the same pledge class. And I said, Jeff, you and I have the same exact vital statistics. 6 feet tall, brown hair, brown eyes. And like Ian said, Jeff's better looking than I am, but if you look down, looked up, it's the same haircut, same everything. And for 2 years, I never had an issue. Now, here's the question. Is this now, in 2022, that was in 1980s, is it immoral for us to be promoting fake IDs?
Hmm.
Are we lacking responsibility here, moral responsibility for encouraging people to get a fake ID?
Given the fact that we did a half hour on ayahuasca yesterday, I don't think it's necessarily...
Funch, you ever have a fake ID?
Never had a fake ID.
Did you ever need one?
No, I mean...
Didn't you ever want to drink when you were
19? I wanted to, but I guess I waited until I was 21, but I had an older brother who would give me,
Who'd hook you up?
Yeah, hook me up, basically.
Yeah, it was invaluable to me.
I'm sure.
Because I went to, when you went into Westwood, every place was a bar.
Jorge, did you ever have a fake ID?
I did not, but I had family and friends who would, hook me up as well, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. This happened last week or 2 weeks ago, I think. So I stop at the 7-Eleven, and there's a kid outside. I don't know. Maybe kid is...
Wanted to hook you up? Wanted you to hook him up?
Kid's maybe 19 years old or something like that. Says, hey, would you buy us some beer? Now, what's the right answer to that?
Yes.
You think the answer's yes?
I would have done it.
I did not.
What did you say?
I said, you know what? I'm just not that guy.
I kind of am that guy.
I'm not that guy. Yeah. Because I don't want the liability. I don't want the idea of some 18-year-old with beer that I bought out there causing problems.
What if it's a trap and you get busted?
What's that?
What if it's a trap and you get busted?
Oh, what if it's a sting operation?
Yeah. Well, I'd get suspended.
You would.
See? Like,
you would.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, so that's a good question. So
you wouldn't do it?
No, I wouldn't.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Would you do it for one of our interns?
I would do it for Brady because he played on my team, but I would not do it for Parker, Quinn.
Why wouldn't you do it for
Amana?
Quinn or Amana?
They just don't look like they need it.
What are you talking about? They're great.
Yeah, no, they're great.
I would do it, Parker. I will do it for you. I would do it for Quinn. I would do it for Amana.
Do it
I would
for
do
Brady.
It, and I would do it for Brady any day of the week.
By the way, Brady probably has, given that his dad is Mark Cates, the number one salesperson here, it's probably already sponsored.
Yes, for Brady, free. Brady he probably hasn't paid for a drink since he was.
Brady probably has an endorsement
since he had his
right
first
now.
One. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know if that's immoral. I don't think it's immoral.
Is it? Are we wrong to suggest that getting a fake ID is something that can help you in life? Because it helped me.
877-710-ESPN. I'm curious about this one. Also, I'm curious about if some kid says, hey, will you buy some beer for me at the 7-Eleven? Do you buy the beer?
Somebody by the name of Mark Schwartz just tweeted us, Stacy Schwartz is my cousin.
There you go.
Well, Iron Eagle has an ID.
Played the role of Stacy for a while.
Yeah.
That's a tricky one. That's a tricky one.
By the way, what's the right answer in Mason's dilemma? If you walked into a liquor store today, and a kid outside, let's say the kid's 18.
Yeah, say 18-year-old kid.
Says, hey, man, would you buy us some beer? What is the proper way to handle that? Because I think I would do it, and you clearly
didn't do it when I was asked. Because I don't want that on my conscience.
Okay.
That somebody's, over the objections of a parent or whatever, that I'm going to buy beer for some kid and the kid's going to get drunk and do something stupid. And then they're going to say, where is that guy that bought the beer? And I say, I saw him at the 7-Eleven.
And he's that guy that's on ESPN LA.
He was the fat guy in the hoodie.
That's pretty funny.
It's an interesting question. Are fake IDs still a thing?
I would think so.
Yeah.
When I was a bartender, my boss told me you have to get an ID and you have to make every attempt to see if it's that person.
Yeah.
But I was always pretty liberal as a bartender. Here's Todd on the 10 freeway. Hey, Todd, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I was just telling my daughter about a story about the fake ID I had, and I got it taken away twice. My brother used to go to a poker hall. And I took it in there, and they knew my brother, so immediately they took the ID away from me and called my brother and said, your stupid brother's down here with your ID, and then I got kicked out. And then another time in Sacramento, Charles Barkley was in town playing the Kings, and I went to the bar, and the bartender took it away, but he was in my class at City College, one of the bouncers at the bar, so I retrieved it and had it the whole time until I got to the age of 21.
Yeah,
there you go.
From 19 to 21, I was set, thanks to my buddy.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Ohio had it right. Drinking age 18 years old.
Yeah. Now, what is it in California now, Jorge?
21.
Okay.
Yeah, 21. Yeah.
Still 21.
Yeah.
All right.
Given the state of things, probably should be like 28 or 29.
Here's Pedro in Long Beach. Hey, Pedro, you're on ESPN LA. Pedro, if some guy walks up to you, some kid, 18-year-old kid, says, will you buy us some beer, how do you play it?
I'll tell them the date and time, and he can show up. I'll have the beer ready at my house. Just I won't give it to him like on the spot.
Okay.
That I'm super conscious about that. But if I could tell my quick little story,
yeah.
My girlfriend at the time was not my wife. We were in Vegas. She was a couple months away from turning 21. I'm already 21. We get invited to the club. She uses her friend's ID, who looks nothing like her at all whatsoever. She is allowed into the club. I'm using my ID. I'm 21. It has my face on it, my birthday. I know all the numbers to it. they're not letting me in. And I'm like, dude, like, I have $100 in my pocket. Just let me in. He's like, oh, you're bribing me now? Like, I'm like, dude, that's my ID. Like, if not, if you're not going to let me in, just let me have it. It took me 45 minutes. Like, they put me in a little black room. And then
they got
fed up, and they're like, here's your ID. Just get in. Fine. My wife was two drinks in. Like, oh, my God.
Well, they did. Wait a minute. So they eventually, Pedro, let you in?
They let me in after this 45-minute, like, hassle, and my wife was in there with her friend who used a second ID that she had. She had a California ID, and she had a driver's license. So the two girls walked in with the same picture ID back-to-back from each other, and they don't let the guy in with a legal 21-year-old ID in his own hand. We all had fun at the end of the night.
That's the important thing.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, by the way, we're talking all, you know, talking LeBron, talking about the Dodgers, talking about the Padres in town tonight, talking about Matthew Stafford's elbow, and all of a sudden you mentioned fake IDs in, like, every line in the building.
That's funny. Mike in Calabasas. Hey, Mike, you're on ESPN LA.
Hey, Maze. Hey, John. So a few years back, I was interviewing a young kid for a job. He was about 18 or 19, so I asked him, So what are the other things you've done in life? He says, well, when I was a teenager, I was a police explorer. I said, yeah, so what was that about? He says, so I would hang out around outside of 7-Elevens and bus kids who come in underage for cigarettes or beer. So I didn't hire him.
Yeah, there you go. That's probably smart.
Yeah, I don't know. I might probably help the kid out.
Yeah, I'm always just... I don't want to cause problems.
Here's Jack in Winnetka. Hey, Jack, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
What's up, brother? Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Great.
Speaking of the 7-Eleven and beer, I'm actually a 7-Eleven franchisee.
Okay.
And we have those sting operations of underage drinking at least once a month, where people coming in with fake IDs and trying to purchase beer. One time we had someone come in, definitely not that person in the ID, probably 19, 20, pushing the heck out of it, trying to get some free beer, even trying to slide me an extra 20 just to purchase the beer. So that kind of stuff is a lot more common than you would think.
All right, so there was a sting,
now knowing that there could be a sting operation, would you still buy beer for that kid? Yeah, Jorge's all over it with the sting operation. I had no idea.
I'm giving it second thoughts.
Yeah, I do not want to be the guy that gets busted for buying beer for underage kids.
So tell me if this is acceptable or not acceptable behavior. I've told you this story before, but I'm sure most people haven't heard it. So when I lived in Texas, there were blue laws.
Yeah, okay? Sure.
So blue laws are like you can't buy alcohol on
Sundays. Right.
You know, it's like religious parts of the country. There probably still are some blue laws someplace.
Ohio, right? There were blue laws.
All right. So if you went into any supermarket,
yep,
they would basically just put a sheet, hang a sheet over the beer and the alcohol and say it's Sunday, you can't buy it.
Yep.
So... my friends, I was on TV, so I had to kind of stay out of this.
Right.
But my friends would woohoo beer.
Now, to woohoo means what?
It means you go get a 12-pack.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You wad up a 20.
So you go behind the curtains where the beer is shut off.
You take the 12-pack.
Yep.
Let's say the 12-pack costs $15.
Okay.
You take the 20. You put it under your arm like a football.
Mm-hmm.
You wad up the 20,
mm-hmm,
and you sprint through the check stand. You take the wadded 20. You throw it at the cashier. You yell, keep the change. Woohoo! And then your friend is outside in the getaway car, and you just take off. Acceptable or unacceptable behavior?
Oh, God.
What do you think, Jorge?
Oh, I mean, that's acceptable.
I mean, I
Fudge,
think it's
acceptable or unacceptable?
Acceptable, baby.
I mean,
acceptable.
I wouldn't do it, but good for you, man. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Like if we were drinking on a Sunday, we needed beer, somebody would say, all right, who's going to woohoo the beer? Ireland can't go. One time I drove the car.
One time you drove the getaway car?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because the cops, unless you were like stealing, the cops really didn't crackdown on.
Right. So you didn't pay for the beer. It's
not
just
only paid with a tip. Paid
with a tip, right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then woohoo,
you know,
goodbye.
You know what's weird? Talking about alcohol sales being cut off. So we were in Cartagena, Colombia.
Cartagena. Made famous in
Romancing the Stone.
Nice pull by
we
you.
We actually watched it while we were in Cartagena.
Yeah, great movie.
Because. So when we were there, it happened to be the national election. And you know the thing, first of all, it was on a Saturday.
In Colombia. Okay.
It was on a Saturday. Nobody's working. You could go to vote, or fewer people are working. And then there's no alcohol sold anywhere in Colombia on the day
of a national election. Interesting.
So everybody's got to be sober when they vote, which I think is a good rule to follow. I like that.
You should adopt that rule when you draft in fantasy football this year.
Well, I told you I draft sober now.
Okay.
That's why my teams are all kicking ass.
All right, could be.
Yep, this all is right. the year.
Hey, Funch, did you prepare a Bobcat?
Mm-hmm. Of course I did.
Right. Okay.
It's coming up.
Bobcat is coming up next for you. Funch in for Bergman, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thank you, Chris and Amanda, even though I'm not corporate Greg.
Today it's Funch.
Funch. Yeah. That's right. For Bergie.
All right, Funch, what do you got?
All right, guys. Have you ever heard of player Mike James?
Sure.
Ireland.
Yeah,
of
course.
Great player. All right, he's
On the court for Kobe's 81-point game.
Really?
Playing for Toronto.
Oh, no, there's another Mike James.
Oh, there's a different guy.
Yeah, different guy. He was on a Brooklyn Nets roster last season.
Oh, yeah, I know
playing,
that one, too.
Yeah, currently playing in EuroLeague. He was asked about his top five players in the NBA. He named Luka, LeBron, KD, Giannis, and Joel Embiid, but left out Steph Curry. He said, Steph, how he plays, how he gets his stuff off, it's just kind of one-dimensional. He's not a primary ball handler, and for a point guard, that kind of bothers me. I guess Steph was at his basketball camp this morning when he was asked about when he was asked this.
One-on-one versus you and any of the campers here, what does that look like?
Oh, it's all bad for them. All bad for them. Even as one-dimensional as I am. I'm petty, dog. I'm so petty.
Yeah, he is. He claims to be the petty king.
Yeah. So, does Mike James have a point with this,
give us his five again?
his five was KD, Luka, LeBron, Giannis, and Joel Embiid.
Those are all really good players.
Yeah.
I would probably put Steph ahead of Luka right now. Luka may pass him eventually. But right now, I'd rather have Steph than Luka. Mace, how about you?
Even based on age, you're right getting now. A younger Luka. Right are you just now. Saying for this year?
Yeah.
No, I want Steph.
Yeah.
I want Steph. He does stuff that I can't even believe happens.
Right.
I mean, he's an impossibly great
shooter.
In
5 years, I think I would put Luka ahead of Steph, but not now.
Yeah, I mean, we're at a point where we're saying, is Steph one of the 10 greatest players of all time? How can he not be one of the five best players in the league at this moment?
Is it safe to say if Mike James is in the league next year, Steph's going to drop 60 on him?
Oh, yeah. After describing him as one-dimensional? I think he probably will light him up.
All right, guys.
Bobcat.
All right, there's a video on Instagram that Hunter Renfro put up of him getting into a packed Uber with his teammates.
Oh, I saw this. Devontae
Adams, Derek Carr, and receiver Mac Hollins as they went, I guess they went from the Raiders facility to Topgolf, which is like a 20-minute drive or whatever.
Okay.
In the video, the guys gave Renfro crap for not getting an Uber XL.
Right.
Since you're all big guys or whatever, they got into a regular Uber.
He got like the Uber X.
Yeah, they got like, you know.
Completely unforgivable.
A Honda Accord, basically.
You know? Yeah, I only order XL. I order Uber XL if I'm going by myself.
Okay. You order XL? I don't think I ever order XL.
Oh, so the question here, guys, if you were going to cram into a regular Uber with three people from the station for about 20 minutes, who are you picking, Mace?
Let's say I'm picking the smallest people. Who is small?
I'm taking Quinn, Amana, and Trish.
Trish!
Yeah.
Trish gets it. Quinn and Amana are really good choices. I'm going to say, Jorge, you're pretty small. I need three people?
Yeah, three people.
Yeah.
Jorge.
Mario.
Mario, oh, yeah. Very Mario. Small. Yeah, good call.
Amanda's super skinny.
And Amanda, that's great.
There's also Lindsay, too. There's also Lindsay, too.
Oh, Lindsay,
yeah,
too.
Lindsay's skinny.
Yeah, I'm looking for the smallest people I can find. I don't ever order. So you order
Uber XL.
Even if you're by yourself,
Because here's what I'm worried about, Funch. I'm worried if I order Uber X, some guy showing up in a smart car. And to me, I at least want some room in the back. I don't want to be crammed into, even like a Tesla 3 feels small to me.
Yeah.
So XL is only a few, like right now on Uber, if I open up Uber.
Uber XL right now to my house is $40.
And what is X?
That was X. $40 to my
house.
What's
XL?
XL is $40. X so there is 32.
Yeah. Okay. So right
and
now.
And my brand is 31. Comfort. All I need is comfort.
Yeah. Comfort I'll go for. That means it's a little bigger. But like right here, Uber X from my house to my house right now is $43 and Uber XL is $56. I'll pay the extra $13.
Yeah, you might be right on that one.
Yeah. I'll pay the extra $13.
Now, do you guys ride in the back or do you guys ever take the front seat?
I don't.
If there's multiples of us, yeah, I always take the front
seat. If the guy
seat.
Does, I always say, do you mind if we sit in front? And most of the time they say no.
I tell you what's really cool is when you get picked up in, and I don't drive a Tesla, but when you get picked up on a Tesla, it is like, I would love that.
Space car.
Teslas are so crazy.
Like a space car from the Jetsons.
It is
right?
A space car. It really is. I got picked up when we went to Hermosa Beach for Taylor's concert. I got picked up in one of those Teslas, and I'm telling you, we were driving along the coast, and it's you've got the map, the lit up frame in the middle, and it's super quiet, and the sound system was. I root for if they had Uber Tesla, I would sign up for it because I think
they
that's
might
really
one
cool.
day.
Yeah,
Bobcat.
Be honest, what do you got?
All right, so I sent you guys a picture of this, and Balenciaga is getting a lot of trash talk.
explain who Balenciaga is.
It's a designer brand. It's like a brand. With, you know, they sell expensive
like
stuff.
Like Louis Vuitton or something like that.
Gotcha.
So they're selling something that got inspired by a garbage bag. Essentially, it's just a pouch that looks like a garbage bag.
Okay.
Idiotic. I'm looking
it for, like, so in essence, it's a piece of luggage.
Yeah. So they're selling it for $1,800.
Wait a minute. Are you talking
it
about...
It looks like a trash bag.
Are you talking about that trash pack that person's carrying?
Yes.
It's $1,700?
$1,700.
My God, there's one born every minute, isn't there?
All right, so
are you looking at the picture?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, unbelievable. See what this reminds me of? You guys are too young, but... And I would imagine somewhere, someplace, you can still watch reruns of I Love Lucy.
I'm sure that's on somewhere.
All right, so there was an episode of I Love Lucy once where all Lucy and Ethel wanted... was a Halston dress. All their friends were getting Halston dresses.
Okay.
And Fred and Ricky thought, you know, they just want it for the status symbol. They don't even care what it looks like. So they went and hired, they got a couple of Halston labels, and they sewed the labels into potato sacks, into the inside of potato sacks, and gave them, put them in a nice box, and gave them as gifts to Lucy, and of course they put them on right away. They put the potato sacks right on, and these are our Halston potato sacks. And it started a trend of models wearing potato sacks. This is what this reminds me of. Nobody needs a $1,700 garbage bag. It
really is a garbage bag. I mean, there's no other way to describe that except a garbage bag. I'm tweeting out the picture of it right now. It's unbelievable that this is going on, and who the suckers are that are paying this much. I guess because it's a label, Balenciaga. Yeah.
Well, Funchy has a pair of shoes.
I have a pair, yeah, Balenciaga shoes, yeah.
How expensive?
I don't want to say.
Come on, Funch. We say everything on this show.
Wait, now, okay, so let me guess.
Yeah.
Are they dress shoes or tennis shoes?
Tennis shoes, kind of.
Okay. More or less than $400?
More.
Okay, more or less than $1,000?
Less. Way less. Okay. Yeah.
So you're in that neck
of
the
woods. So you're sort of $600?
Something around there, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that means they were eight.
No.
Yeah, that means they were 800. Yeah,
eight. You could take the last, let's see, $600. You could probably take the last four pairs of shoes I've bought, and they don't add up to
I'm working at the Laker games. I have to keep up with the Joneses.
Oh, yeah, you got
to
keep up.
Well, one fashion trend, Funch, that has helped me save a lot of money on dress shoes is the fact that now, especially at Laker games, everybody's wearing dress sneakers with suits.
Right.
So I have a bunch of dress sneakers now.
Yeah, that's right.
Which are more reasonably priced than, you know, Cole Haan's, you know, or you know, Ferragamo's or whatever, or like the shoes you have. So it's getting more affordable out there. All right, you got one
Bobcat.
More?
Yes, I do. I got one more. So all of us in the studio, like Laura says, we're all booed up here.
Okay.
You guys know what booed up is?
Yeah, we're all booed.
Everyone has a significant other.
Yeah, okay. I'm booed all the time.
So let me ask you guys something I saw on Reddit. Question was, what's the best relationship advice you ever heard? Now, somebody responded with the 2-2-2 rule, which starts with going out with your significant other for an evening every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Out for a weekend with your significant other for every 2 months. And then out for a week every 2 years. So you get that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is this too much or too little?
Too little.
Too little.
Really? I go out every weekend.
Really? Yeah. Every weekend?
I think that's too little. I mean, people like to go away and do stuff. And we always talk about changing the four walls.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be in the same four walls all the time. Like, we went down to it didn't work out. But we went down to the Gas Lamp this weekend and got a room at the Westgate Hotel. And it just four different walls and a pool to go along with it. I think there should be more. John, what's the best piece of relationship advice you've ever gotten?
Probably never go to bed mad at the other one.
That's a good rule.
You know, if you go to bed mad at the other one, then it festers overnight. You should resolve it before you go to sleep.
That's a very good rule to follow. Funch, what about you?
I think I follow that same thing that John does. Like, don't go to bed, you know, having a fight.
How's married life, Funch? What, you been married like a couple months now?
Yeah, a couple
months
now, since May.
You guys still, anything
you
different?
You two kids still together?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
You know, I always marvel at, you know, like Meghan Markle, who's now Princess Meghan.
Whatever she is.
Dated her boyfriend. This is before, who's she married to, Harry?
Yeah, Harry, the okay. Ginger.
Before Harry, she dated a guy for 6 years. They got married,
mm-hmm.
and they broke up in 6 weeks.
Wow.
So I don't know what changed or what the,
It's interesting. I mean,
That's my story of you and Juan don't need to get married.
Right. Juan and I never got married. And
you've been together what? How many years?
16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because
why? Don't ruin a good thing.
Yeah. I should have
told my wife that, miss.
Yeah. No,
girls need it.
Would have been less
expensive.
They're
going to insist on it.
Yeah. My best relationship advice is negotiate, negotiate, negotiate. You never get your way. They never get their way. You got to find the middle world.
Oh, I just cave. Happy wife, happy life.
I cave often.
Yeah.
Except when it really means something, unless I'm really serious about it. But I roll over on most.
You guys cave when you guys know you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, me too.
Because you don't want the fight.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
me too.
It's just like there's very few things that I actually feel that strongly about.
The phrase
about.
That gets me in trouble all the time is, so he's got an opinion, I've got an opinion, we don't agree, and I'll just say, agree to disagree. And he'll be like, that's no way to resolve this. Agree to disagree.
By definition, it's not resolving it.
Right.
Yeah.
But we have different.
There is no resolution.
We have different
in that
opinions.
Scenario.
And then the other thing Juan always does to me is he will to say, oh, this happened way back when. And that means you're. And I'm always like, your memory favors your side of the story. He's not remembering stuff right. So, yeah, my advice is negotiate. Always.
Yeah, that's going to get your
and
relationship.
Roll over when necessary.
Roll over is the better advice in that scenario.
It is. All right, coming up next for you, I've made a tremendous mistake.
Really?
In my family life. I made
what?
Tremendous mistake.
What'd you do?
I will tell you. Coming up next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.